Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Luis Elizondo. His new book is imminent, Inside the Pentagon's Hunt for UFOs, which is really inside the Pentagon's hunt for clarity, for transparency. Because Luis Lou is read into a program that has a history, and he's learning it over weeks and months. At the same time, he's being told other possibilities for the phenomenon that we recorded as a child. I call them UFOs. I'm trying to pick up the new language, UAPs. We begin with Roswell. That was the summer of 1947. And you've heard of it because it's had TV shows and movies made about it. There's an exchange that Lou has at one point early in the book. He says, "You mean Roswell is real?" It's a wonderful question, Lou. What did you learn?
Well, I was shocked, as you can imagine, because, you know, you hear all this Hollywood tall tales about the Roswell incident, and it's to the point where it's almost become, a bit of a joke to discuss. And I learned very quickly that it was not a joke at all. In fact, it was very, very serious. And the reason why it is considered a joke now is because there was an active campaign to discredit it. But the reality is, if you look at Roswell and you look at New Mexico, this is right on the heels of World War II. And we had just entered the atomic age, which is very significant because that's actually when we started noticing an uptick in UAP activity from a governmental perspective. And so it turns out that one of the only locations in the world where we had a delivery capability, meaning the ability to deliver the atomic bomb, was in Roswell. We had these modified B-29 bombers. Very near Roswell, actually. It wasn't actually in Roswell, but it was very not too far from Roswell. These B-29s had a very special capability to deliver an atomic weapon. And that's where they were stationed. And it turns out that there was some testing being done. And Roswell, I talked to a very senior colleague of mine and scientist who worked on some other former government programs involving the UAP topic. And he said definitively that Roswell wasn't one crash. It was actually two incidents. And more importantly, that there was actually biological evidence recovered from these. It was taken away, the crash material, and secured at a U.S. military base for study. And then very quickly, there was a counter narrative that was put out to try to quell some of the public interest and curiosity and potentially a little bit of concern to try to minimize what the incident really was. And yes, I was shocked. And I will also submit to you that learning that was really just the tip of the iceberg. Every day was something new. Every time we saw a new video coming in from the field of a forward looking infrared or gun camera footage or radar data or pilot testimony, it became increasingly compelling and also at the same time frustrating, because you had this counter narrative that was being put out by elements of the intelligence community and the Pentagon to diminish the seriousness of this topic. And yet we were reaching this operational crescendo where more and more incidents were occurring to the point where they were literally at one point for months stalking one of our nuclear carrier strike groups, even all the way out to the Middle East.
There's a list of incidents in Lou's book that help you understand the scale of these unexplained moments and who is and who is not responsible for not telling the public. There's the Congo in March of 52. There's D.C. itself in July of 52. There's October 54 in Florence, Italy. It goes on all the way to the 80s and 90s. And invariably, there's an explanation that's given to toss it aside. It's a balloon. It's birds, it's lights, you made it up, something's wrong with you. The stigma grew. But at the same time, I learned from Lou that presidents were being briefed on these matters. I begin in the 50s, that's Truman and Eisenhower, two more straight-speaking men I cannot imagine. Were you flabbergasted when you learned that the presidents had been told?
No, I wasn't actually. I was actually relieved, to be honest with you, because that means at that point the bureaucracy is working. My concern is when the bureaucracy doesn't work, and those who are in a need to know, whether it's the gang of folks of in the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, or it is the president in the executive branch, there are individuals in our government who have a requirement to know these things from an oversight perspective. And when they're not being informed, that's when I get concerned. If I could, I think the concern I have regarding narratives and counter narratives is that we were spending a lot of time and resources historically for decades as a nation looking into these things. And you're right, there was this narrative saying they're balloons or it's hogwash. Let's put this in a very logical perspective. There's only two possibilities. And this is what I had to explain to several generals personally. I said, look, sir, either these things are real and what people are seeing here, what recording on radar and electro-optical data is correct, or it's all fake, which means one of two alternatives. Meaning if it's all fake, that means people who, or it's a hallucination or mass delirium, that means thousands of people in the U.S. government with top secret security clearances, with literally their finger on the nuclear button, are all having the same mass delusion. These are people that are fighter pilots that are trained to fly glide munitions over our cities and our populated areas, fight and win wars on our behalf, and they're all suffering from the same mass delusion. Now, I don't personally know what's more of a concern, UAP or this notion that everybody is suffering from a mass delusion and they're all crazy. And oh, by the way, they have they are part of our nation's most sensitive operations, right? So that's all it can be. It's either real or it's not. And if it's not, this is your alternative narrative. And I've saw enough information myself, my colleagues did, where we know for a fact this is not a mass delusion.
30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. That's it, really. The bottom line is that this is real. We have multiple sensor systems recording the same event at the same time, at the same place, under the same circumstances. So if this was a court of law, we are well beyond reasonable doubt.
The book is imminent. Inside the Pentagon's Hunt for UFOs. Luis Elizondo is the author. What happened after that letter didn't arrive at Secretary of Defense Mattis's desk? That is the adventure. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.